Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's therapy time going into the weekend. It's time for you to release. Feel a little bit better. Who or what's made you mad? You know what's happened this week. Especially with the warmer temperatures, you're a little bit more hot under the collar. Who or what has made you mad? Bring me the horizon. That'll be a show on September 28th. Tickets just went on sale this morning. We've got a pair of tickets to give away, but you're going to have to get involved in the show. You know how this works by now. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tell us who or what has made you mad. Maxwell Field, your call from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Willie, do you have one or do you want me to start?
Oh, I have one.
Okay. Oh, okay. Lead it off.
It may have come up on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. I read Joe's article in the aftermath of the press conference yesterday, which was an excellent article, and I told him that. But the headline reads this. Rex Rode, on David Poile, the Nashville Predators, and mediocrity as an accepted outcome. I have heard that thrown around on our station, on Twitter, all that stuff. The mediocrity. First of all, nobody accepts mediocrity. Everybody's playing to win a championship. So the philosophy of, hey, we accept mediocrity, I don't buy that for a second. But I also don't buy, and this is who I'm putting on the list, if you think that mediocre is making the playoffs 15 out of 18 years and making the playoffs the last 8 years, then
that's your standard.
I think that's exactly. What is your definition of mediocrity? I just don't think that is the definition, objectively, of mediocrity. Now, is it exceptional? No. I'm not here to tell you that it is. I'm not here to tell you that it's superlative. But it is above mediocre. Mediocre would be making the playoffs every other year. If there's 30, right now there's 32 teams. But Vegas and Seattle haven't been in the league that long to really judge them. I tried, Darren, in the last day to do a comparison in the salary cap era. So there's a lot of ways you can do this. You want to look at the last 5 years, the last 10 years. I looked at the salary cap era, which is since 2005. That's about, 17, 18 seasons? Mm-hmm. And so objectively, I tried to almost downplay making the playoffs. I looked at winning cups, winning playoff rounds, divisions, all of these things. I objectively, in my mind, had Nashville around number 12 or 13, give or take a notch. There's a couple that are really debatable, right? But they're no worse than 13 or 14. Now, remember, making the playoffs 15 out of 18 years, 8 in a row. Now, some people, well, they say, well, that's right in the middle. It's above the middle. So I don't think you can say it's mediocre. That's my one beef. So to those that label what the Predators have done as mediocre, I think you have to look at it in comparison to everybody else in the league.
You just made the list!
Yeah.
Mediocrity is defined as not very good at something or not very good at anything in particular.
Yeah.
I don't think making the playoffs is not good.
It's solid. It's not spectacular, but
like
you could
said,
do a ton worse.
Making being ousted in the first round 4 years in a row. I mean, what Minnesota has been ousted, 6 years in a row?
Six years in a row.
So are they mediocre?
Minnesota has been solid for a long time. I would put them. I don't know.
I feel like there should be another word. Like mediocre, yeah. To me, mediocrity is average. Average doesn't mean to me average. If you're average, you're not in the playoffs. Like Jeff Fisher got pounded for years for being 8-8. 8-8 is not a playoff.
I thought of that a lot.
That is average. That's mediocrity.
That is 8-8.
You don't make the playoffs, and you get a middle of the road draft pick. So that is truly no man's land, right?
Yeah, I would put
you don't get rewarded for not making the playoffs with a high draft pick. You draft in the middle, and you didn't make the playoffs. So, like, to me, that's mediocrity.
I think so. That is what I think. So it bugs me when people try to say because I'm proud of a lot of what they have done as an organization, and it's not fair to characterize it as mediocre. It's not easy. They have won. As we talked about before, your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. They've been consistent winners, but they have not achieved at the very, very top. If you compare them to a lot of, like, I automatically put teams that have won a cup above the Predators. That was an automatic. Okay, but there have been some teams that have won. Like, Carolina won a cup. Carolina also went 9 years without making the playoffs. So, but I still put Carolina above the Predators because they won a cup in the salary cap era under Peter Laviolette. So they have been boom or bust. So I tried to be conservative in where I rank the Predators, but it's not mediocre. No matter what measure you use, it is better than average. Is it superlative? Is it exceptional? Is it one of the best in the league? No, but it's not mediocre. Give me a break. How about Mike Vrabel when he was taking over those 9-7 Titans teams? What was his mantra? We're good. We want to go from good to great. I thought that was a fair assessment of where their team has been. They're still looking for greatness in the playoffs. They've gotten better under Mike Vrabel.
But they haven't been great.
They haven't. Well, I mean, that's again up for a discussion. But they're not mediocre.
Exactly.
That was a fair way of putting it. They went from good. They're trying to go from good to great. The Predators have been good. Not mediocre.
Yeah,
so anybody who's saying mediocre, you're on the list.
Okay. I didn't mean to piggyback off yours, but I just think for people who aren't satisfied, that's okay. I think we just need to come up with a different word. I don't think mediocrity or mediocre is the right word. There needs to be a different word. Again, mediocrity says you're not very good at something. You're not very good at anything in particular. You can't be in the playoffs and not be good.
I agree.
There has to be, again, I'll use the Jeff Fisher, and I'm not meaning to pound on Jeff Fisher, but going 8-8 and not making the playoffs is mediocrity because you get jammed on both ends. You don't get to enjoy any postseason play, and you get a middle-of-the-pack first-round pick.
Right, 8-8. So look at
no
the Predators.
Man's land.
The one loss, it's not like the Predators are getting in winning less than half of their games. If you look year in and year out, they're winning more than half. That, by definition, is good. It's not mediocre.
Max has one as well. Max, go ahead.
Hi, Darren. First of all, you look great today. That's
Thank
unrelated.
Thank you, Max. Appreciate it. You too.
I think maybe 3 weeks ago, the last time I produced on a Friday, one of you was talking about giveaway T-shirt sizes at games.
Yep.
Well,
that was actually a listener that came up with it.
Didn't like that. It's always
okay.
XL.
So yep. I agreed with that individual.
Yes, so
and
did
I. In a slightly related note of stadium giveaway items, and I think this is my first time ever actually having something to put on the list because I don't have a lot to complain about. I'm a happy guy, but if you are doing a stadium giveaway and it's not something that's like some sort of valuable item, like occasionally pro teams will give away something that like they want there to only be 500 of for whatever reason, like a commemorative something. If you're doing a giveaway, please don't limit it. Like the first 1,000 fans, the first
5,000, the
fans.
First 10,000.
Yeah. The other thing that gets me is when they do like the first or fans ages 21 and older get this because they want every family to get one. It's like, no, give the kids something. But my main thing is, however many tickets you're expecting to sell, get that many of the item, get a sponsor for it, which most pro teams do. Mm-hmm. And like, if it's a bobblehead, I mean, like, we know us, and lots of our listeners collect bobbleheads. How many bobbleheads are in your Zoom shot right now, Darren? Probably 20. Mm-hmm. And we got 20 on the desk here. Those sit on people's desks for 30 years. So if that says, like, 102.5 The Game as the sponsor, that's worth the money. You can find a sponsor. But you shouldn't have to get there 2.5 hours early to get something. And I think everybody should get something at every game forever. So print more free stuff.
You just made the list.
I like it. Okay, we are off and running. Loaded lines. Come back, and we will get your phone calls. We're going to run through them all. 615-737-1025. But Willie, no, that's coming up in a little bit. We'll come back. Your phone calls next. All right, who or what has made you mad? 615-737-1025. Let's find out how you can feel better. Get us started, Mike in Gallatin.
Hey, guys. So I was going through making a process of a decision, and I want to know if you guys are going to either put me on the list or this other person. So I'm going to give you three options. I want you to determine which one is the most expensive in terms of dollars amount. Okay, two tickets to WWE SummerSlam in the 200 level. Two tickets to Hamilton on a Thursday night in the second tier of PPAC, or tickets to Disney Junior live at the Grand Ole Opry in November.
I'm going to go with Hamilton, TPAC. That's my final answer.
Then, judging by your answer, that I'm putting Mickey Mouse on the list. They are charging $200+ for me to get comparable tickets for my 3-year-old son to be able to go see Mickey Mouse and Spider-Man.
Oh, that was the most expensive ticket?
Yeah. I mean, he's a 3-year-old, so I can't sit. I can sit in the rafters if I want to, but if you're going to keep a 3-year-old entertained, you're not going to be able to do that sitting in the rafters of the Grand Ole Opry. It's just not going to happen. So it was hard for me, and I haven't pulled the trigger. I'm probably not going to, for what it's worth, because, again, I feel like I'm getting justified through talking to other young dads and other people who have probably impulse buyed plenty of dumb kids stuff shows going forward, that these are going to come a dime a dozen. They're going to come around again at some point. But yeah, for tickets in the second tier, it was going to cost me after fees more than I paid for my tickets to Hamilton.
I'll give you some free advice, Mike, and this is, both of us have been through this. At three, yeah, I'd probably hold on and wait a little bit longer to get your true bang for your buck.
Yeah, you get excited because your kid loves seeing, you know, Mickey Mouse and the little Spider-Man, but I think we could also just watch Mickey Mouse and Spider-Man on Disney Plus with a pizza for $5, and it'd be just as exciting as, you know, the $300, and that's just for the tickets, let alone,
You're going to spend way more once you get there. You're toast once you get there.
Exactly. Well, thank you for the therapy, and Mickey Mouse, you suck.
Wow.
You just made the list.
Mickey's on the list, man. Wow. That's tough.
That's a little steep, especially for a 3-year-old, and when you get there, you get sucked into all that stuff. Like, it used to drive me. Gosh, and you end up, you have to do it, and you just know, whatever you buy there, which is going to be outrageously expensive, they're going to have it with them that day, and you may get the next day out of it, and then they're going to throw it in a corner to never look at or to be seen again. And you're like, man, did I really pay $40 for that? Yeah. We've all been through that. All right, let's go to...
Have we ever.
615-737-1025. Let's go to Eric. Eric, who or what has made you mad?
Hey, guys, I'm going to get to Melissa in a minute, but about giveaways, one of the things I just want to throw out there, too, is if you don't want the product, don't take it, because I've been to a lot of events and games, whether it's Titans or whatever, where people take stuff, and then it'll either be on the ground or in the trash, so you don't have to take it if they give it to you, so just don't do that. Just throw that out there. Hey, guys, on my list, and I've complained about it before, I thought about using this money, but it was better for today. It's the Cincinnati Reds organization. Already you've had the owner that went out and got to a fan talking about moving the team from Cincinnati, and you can't never say anything like that for an iconic franchise. But you probably heard about this story. So last week at the Reds ball game, I guess it was Tuesday, home at the Great America Ballpark, there you're having $2 hot dog night and $2 beer night, which good PR move, you know, don't have a problem with that. But unfortunately, guys, they ran out of stuff in the fourth inning, and they only had 10,000 fans. Now, if you're going to do something like that, you cannot have that happen. And it just is a disaster. I wish the owner could sell and get rid of the ballpark, get rid of his ownership in the team, because I never thought we'd have an owner as bad, if not worse, than Marge Schott. So, Cincinnati Reds, you make my
list.
You
just made the list.
Thank you, Eric. In lieu of Ryan Porth coming on our show on Wednesday for a couple segments in studio, the Reds ownership group, it's just their front office and ownership group, it's just a tire fire. It's embarrassingly bad. It's really, really bad. Remember when Ryan Porth told me that he was glad Dusty Baker was gone because the Reds deserved better? They're better than that. They're never going to win anything with Dusty Baker. Yeah. 615-737-1025. I've never even heard of, maybe we should ask Jared Parker this, losing a game when your pitcher throws a no-hitter. I've never even heard of that before.
That's happened.
Great teams like the Pirates find a way to win, Darren.
Unbelievable. Nate, who or what is on your list?
First, if Doug is on the line or on waiting, I'm sending good vibes his way. Because, I mean, my goodness, he, for some reason, he's just had horrible weeks for the past, I guess, forever. Anyways, got to do some self-reporting, guys. On the list today is me. Last week, I'm listening to Robbie and Rex Road, and I hear that the whiskey tour tickets are being, you know, basically given away, I guess, later or today or tomorrow or something, for tomorrow. So I go, and I text in the word whiskey. I go to look to see when the event was, because at the time, I didn't know it was tomorrow. And I look, and I'm like, oh, man, I've got to go to this kind of wedding party thing with my wife. I contemplate for about 10, 15 minutes, and thank God that my wife is very understanding, because I asked her if I could, you know, skip the wedding party thing, and if I won the tickets and go to the whiskey tour. But like I said, she's very understanding. I love her very much for that. And, you know, I unfortunately can't go. But I feel like I have to put myself on the list for being that guy asking his wife to do something else rather than go to the event with her.
You just made the list.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. A little cleansing. Hopefully Nate can feel better for doing that. That's the whole point of this. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Tony in Nolensville. Who or what has made you mad?
Hello, guys. And Darren, before I get started, I want you to know, had lunch a little earlier, a while ago, and a friend of mine come in, and he had just a Cleveland shirt on. And I said, are you not going to get you a Guardian shirt? He said, I refuse to buy that. He will not. He said, I will buy nothing if it has Guardians on it. And I told him I could relate, because I would not be buying nothing with the new Vanderbilt logo V on it either. So we're both staying traditional. So I thought I'd let you know that.
You just made the list.
By the way, there's a lot more people that feel that way, including myself.
Right, and who's made my list officially, actually, every day, and y'all can probably attest to this yourself, I am sick and tired of riding through our counties, especially I live in Wilco. Y'all know where that is. Thank Willie's there, too. And you take the back roads, and every time you're riding, you've always are encountering somebody on your side of the road. Why is it people cannot stay on their side of the yellow line on the back roads in these counties? It's beyond me. Does people not know how to drive anymore, or do they think that the whole road is theirs when they're coming around a curve or over a hill? It's beside me. So stay in your lane. stay off of my side of the road because you just made the list. Thank you, Tony.
You just made the list.
You're not the first to tell us to stay in our lane, you know? Just saying. And I have no Guardian stuff, Willie. None.
Well, for the record, I am an Eastsider, as most people know. I am not a Wilco guy.
You're not.
Nothing against Wilco, but just to be accurate.
You're Eastside
I'm
through
Eastsider.
And through.
Yeah.
Through and through. Let's go to Bill. You're up next. Who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. I haven't been listening to you guys for very long, so if I repeat something that's been said before, I apologize. But before I get to my list item, I'd like to reiterate what Willie said about certain individuals on your station who call the Predators mediocre, and then with the opinion of, oh, well, they should, you know, Philip Forsberg, he's okay. He's not a superstar. Well, but he's an identity. And that kind of leads me to my list. The Atlanta Braves traded Freddie for, well, excuse me, did not re-sign Freddie. And I thought I was going to be sick the first time that I saw the Braves and the Dodgers play, and Freddie is not in a Braves uniform. So I love Atlanta. I still watch them. I love Matt, but I hate it that Freddie is not there.
You just made the list.
Okay, Bill. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's going to take some time. Freddie was a very, very, very popular figure.
It's a popular narrative right now for the Braves is, hey, they look like they're missing Freddie Freeman.
I know.
It looks like they're missing Freddie Freeman. They have a lot of other problems on their roster besides first base, but it's easy to put that together.
And you know, but you know also going in, that is going to happen probably.
Sure.
Right?
And this is chapter one. Like, I think in another 2, 3, 4, 5 years, it's like we were saying with the Mikhail Granlund for Kevin Fiala trade. There's different stages, and it continues to evolve.
Let's just sneak one more in. Tom, you'll be our last one. Who or what is on your list?
Hey, Jimbo Fisher.
Okay.
All right. Well, Nick Saban, he is right about, you know, about paying the players and everything like that before they do get into the college, because you don't know how they're going to turn out and everything like that, and give them all that money. I mean, I understand giving them money and stuff like that, support themselves or whatever they got to do, but I don't think Nick Saban is worried about that stuff like people say he is. He's worried about these other teams and stuff like that. I think the other teams are worried about him, and that's why they're doing this.
Okay.
So
all right. Thank you, Tom.
I think that's why that's why Jimbo Fisher made the list.
You okay. just made the list!
Speaking of that, that's a good segue, Tom. We'll come back and discuss that on the other side. We haven't really had a chance to weigh in on the soap opera that is Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. And it's been a heavily discussed topic this week. So we'll do that on the other side. I really I'm glad you brought that up. It was a perfect segue. Justin Bradford will join us at 1 o'clock to kick off the final hour. We'll talk about yesterday's press conference and get his thoughts on the Predators moving forward. They just had their last penalty box radio on Wednesday night. So we'll do that at 1 o'clock. Right now I'm going to talk to you about the summer heat that is here. Yes, the warm temperatures are here to stay. Is your air conditioner ready? Costs are rising everywhere. We know that, right? When we go to the grocery store, yikes when you check out. When you fill up your gas tank with your car, yikes. Utility bills, all that. Everything is going up, up, and up. Is your AC old, inefficient, and costing more than it should? Well, interest rates are rising, but not at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Qualified buyers have up to 72 months no interest for a new York air conditioner and 6 months no interest for repairs. That's a Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. All new systems come with a 10-year parts and labor warranty. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. You can schedule right now at springhillac.com. 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home for NASCAR. Vroom, vroom, 4 o'clock on Sunday. The All-Star Race, Texas Motor Speedway. Also, Chasing Checkers will get you ready for the race Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. NASCAR on ESPN 102.5 The Game is presented by the Nashville Super Speedway and Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Willie, you get a vote on this. If you vote no, then I'm totally cool with it. There is a late entry to You Just Made the List. One more phone caller, and if you want to approve this, we'll do it. If you don't, we'll just move on, because I'm totally fine moving on. But I want you to have a vote in this.
I'm told I should vote for this. I've been left in the dark of who it is, but I've been told, look, you should let this guy on.
So is that a yes?
That's a yes.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One last caller for You Just Made the List.
Hello.
Who is this? Identify yourself.
This is Christopher Dwayne Sanders V, and my heart is broken. It really is. You just made the list, Darren, and I'm really upset. I mean,
you
called me about 2 weeks ago and said, Chris, hey, I want you to play in a golf tournament. He said, you're the first person I called. Remember you said that? You're the first person I called. I waited by the phone for four straight days. You know when you have that girlfriend that you like and you wait for them to call and you just sitting by the phone?
I've been there.
I sat by the phone.
It's a New Edition song, I think, isn't it?
Is that Mr. Telephone Man?
Mr. Telephone Man, you're something.
Oh,
I sat there.
Boy.
I get a click. Okay, I'm not going to sing, but you So then all of a sudden, I'm listening on the radio, and you guys are playing golf. And then I went back to seeing, like, okay, he said I was the first guy that he called. He said that I'm his best friend. Hey, we're gonna make sure you're there. And I never got a call. So sorry to interrupt the show. But
no, you're not.
You just made the list. No, I'm really not, because it's all ammo. Because I've been waiting for a moment like. And then my feelings are just hurt.
And Chris, here's the thing, too, is you told the best golf story of the season so far, talking about the first time you and Derek were playing golf and D-Mace wore 100%. The receiving gloves.
Well, let me ask you this question. Was Derek there?
He was there, yes.
You know
were you there?
Yeah,
I was there.
That. You know that.
Okay.
Darren was there.
Was number 81 Forever Titan there?
I didn't see you there.
And guess what he said? He said, you're the first person I called. I'm just telling you what he said. So, well, I'm just letting you know, big dog, you made the list, and I'm glad. And you know what I think about the whole situation?
Tell us.
Click.
You just made the list.
Well, let me just tell you something, Mr. Sanders. I'm putting you on the list because you have been waiting all week to do this to me. All week. And you called late. You called when the segment was over. So forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders.
You just made the list.
Just drooling to do this all week and put me on
it was
which
good,
I was fine. I was fine with that. I knew I was going to get it today. And you called when the segment was over.
This is also very out of character for Chris, who is the only guest who calls us.
Oh, wait a minute.
Of us calling them.
Did he forget? Oh, wait a minute. So it does happen, right? He forgot the time? Did he forget? Oh, yeah, it does happen. I feel bad.
You just honestly
made
the list.
He was like, can I put you on the list? I said, of course. I was like, but in all sincerity, I didn't sleep Monday night. I was pretty sick about it. It just slipped through the cracks. I don't have any excuse. I have to fall on the sword and I have to take it. I have to take it. He did not. He did not get the info.
It slipped through the cracks.
It slipped through the cracks.
That's tough.
And that is on me for sure. And I felt horrible. I was absolutely mortified when he called me on Monday and said, still doing the golf tournament? And I was like,
sinking feeling. That's tough. It's tough. I felt sad just hearing that.
I could tell.
That's tough. I was really sad.
Mm-hmm. You weren't helping, that's for sure.
You got to give me credit for New Edition, though. That was pretty good.
uh, g- Gator Tim on our text line wanted to know if that last caller we took was John McClain. Oh, boy. No, it was not. Although John did make an appearance on the show here recently.
He did.
Oh, boy. Ryan in Nashville says on our text line, the Predators management is on my list. Vegas and the Islanders missed the playoffs, and they fired their coaches. Preds get swept in the playoffs, and they keep Poile and extend Hines. So, that means you agree with what happened? Let's just say in New York. And, by the way, when we talk about things behind the scenes, again, do you think maybe being around Peter DeBoer? You think maybe that, you know, just having to deal with him on a daily basis may have factored in just a bit? Do you think if he was a swell guy, maybe the leash would be a little bit longer? You know, again, things behind the scenes do matter. It may have mattered here for a certain coach. You know, just saying. Maybe it was a little bit warm and fuzzy. Maybe the leash was a little bit longer. I don't know. But I don't know. Look, everybody's entitled to their opinions, and that is totally fine. But, I mean, I don't think the Islanders is a very – let's revisit. Remember, Washington did the same thing with Barry. And Mr. Barry, how'd that work out? Is he even on a coaching staff?
Todd Reardon?
Oh, Reardon. I said Barry. Yeah. Reardon.
Todd Reardon, yes. He is an assistant.
No relation to Jeff?
Yeah, Todd Reardon is an assistant coach, I think, for the Penguins.
Okay.
But the Capitals have not won a series since Barry Trotz has been the coach. Four straight first-round exits.
Anybody who's listened to the show knows our feelings about Lane Lambert, rooting for him. But, you know, we'll just see. Let's revisit. We'll see if this was the right move.
But it just goes to show you, my theme for the day is it doesn't matter what your plan is. If you want – Who is among the most harsh at rash decisions, quick changes, quick hooks? Philadelphia, right? Is that fair to say? The Flyers?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They've won one playoff round in 9 years. And they've missed the playoffs a bunch of times.
Well, I said it, I think it was yesterday. Look,
that's who fires the coach. That's who fires the coach. That's who fires the GM. That's who starts over. They have done that many times over the last 9 years. They fired Pierre LaViolette, who got them to the Stanley Cup Finals. 2 years later, he got fired after 3 games of the regular season.
Yep.
They have won one playoff round since then. One. 9 years. So there's a lot of ways to do things. There's a lot of different ways than Nashville does things. They don't all work.
So, sometimes they do.
Okay. Sometimes they do.
A lot of times.
Sometimes they don't. There's no one way of doing it. There's no the way of doing it.
Yeah. Look, Ryan, you're entitled to your opinion, and you don't have to agree with it. That's perfectly fine, and your comments are always going to be welcome on the show. But using the Vegas and the Islanders as, well, they did it, so we have to do it, like that's not a good enough reason. We've just gave you several reasons. What about all the failures? And, oh, by the way, let's see how it works out. Let's see how the Islanders works out. I don't know about Vegas because Vegas is equipped. They are equipped. I don't know. If they make the right hire, it could be Barry Trotz. They could be right back in position to be in, right in the thick of things because they have a loaded roster. We'll see how life after Barry is with the Islanders. We'll see. I have my doubts. Even though I'm rooting for Lane Lambert, I don't know how this is going to work out. Josh on our text line says he went to the Sounds game an hour and a half. This is kind of going back to Max's. You just made the list.
Okay.
Said he went to the Sounds game an hour and a half before the gates opened for a stainless steel tumbler. This was last year. The person in front of me got the last one. I was so mad I left the game before first pitch and haven't been back since. The Sounds are still on my list. You know, I never really thought about it until Max brought it up. But, yeah, I don't really love the whole, you know, only a certain amount of people.
It's not bad to have too many. Just give them out at the next game or give them out at FanFest in the offseason.
That is what ends up happening.
They will find happy homes.
Well, right, it seems like it. But I do have to believe that each team probably has a closet full of giveaways that
didn't
get picked up.
You could open that up at any game of any sports team, walk around, and give every kid you see something for free. Closet would be empty in a week.
I think that is probably a smart way of doing things sometimes. Like, I think of, remember the, what was it, Code Blue, right? For a while, the Titans would do a Code Blue and give everybody the blue T-shirt, and it was pretty cool. There was one specifically, I think it was the 08 year where they went 13-3, had a great year. They played Peyton Manning and the Colts on a Monday night, I think it was. I think it was a Monday night, maybe a Sunday night. I think it was probably a Monday night.
No, it was a Monday night.
And it was cool. They had everybody.
It was awesome.
And then there were piles, there were boxes of those T-shirts around town. And you have to give them away to somebody. So it was funny. You see a lot of different people around town with those on.
So my other example of Titans specifically, how many of these bumper magnets do you see that are just their helmet and it says Nissan Stadium? I see one every day. And I think it's from the first game after the corporate sponsorship of the stadium changed. So that was a decade ago, right? Or almost a decade ago. I see one every day. I mean, if you give out 60,000 to something, it's going to be worth it for your sponsor.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I don't think I've ever thought about it until you brought it up. It's a really good point, and obviously there's people that agree. So good stuff. Justin Bradford at 1 o'clock. We'll come back, wrap up the third hour next. There you go. Mr. Sanders, who was late, to you just made the list. Let's talk about little Nicky and Jimbo Fisher, the feud.
Well, which is I know perfect. We have a guest coming up at 1, so we're not nearly in a position to discuss this properly. It's a whole show.
It's a whole show.
I think it's a whole show.
Really?
Yes, because the NIL is moving at warp speed. And I thought it was great theater, number one. It made it to the CBS morning show. I tell you all the time. Like I always pay attention when Good Morning America or the Today Show or CBS, when they go to a sports story, that tells you something. They went to this. And they just scratched the surface. You know, they spent 2 minutes on it. Like, I guess we're about to. We're going to spend 5 minutes on it. But it's such an interesting topic. Why did Jimbo Fisher go off? He thought, in his mind, he went off because he thought Nick Saban accused him of cheating. And he was defending the program, his name, the families, the players. When you really listen to Nick Saban, it's a 7-minute answer that he gives. And when he says Texas A&M bought their players, in the context of what he was saying, he didn't say that they were cheating. But what he was saying was something that we discussed about a month ago, Darren. Remember I brought up the whole thing? We were at the Hermitage. It was raining. I talked about Jack Schwarbrick, the Notre Dame athletic director. David Ubbin wrote the whole story on what's happening in Knoxville with the collective, right? They proudly are talking about how excited they are about the collective and how many millions of dollars they're putting in the till. This is where it's going, and it is going there fast. Nick Saban was simply pointing out he doesn't like the way it's going. He didn't say Jimbo Fisher was cheating. Basically, he said that we lost out to Texas A&M. They were the number one in recruits. We were number two. And they used this collective to get the players. Now, he probably chose his words poorly. He came back on the next day on a radio show. I think it was on satellite radio. And backed off and said, you know what, I shouldn't have singled people out like Deion Sanders and Jimbo Fisher. But basically, he just it's a very deep, layered discussion on the topic that he was trying to provide context on, and he just doesn't like where it's going. He's done that on any number of fronts, on where he doesn't like where NCAA athletics are going and why. I thought it was a great discussion, but in doing so, he really ticked off Jimbo Fisher, and he lit a fuse. And Jimbo Fisher is right in saying he didn't cheat. He's just using the rules the way tons of schools, like Tennessee, are using the rules. And why would it not? Why would you not immediately jump to the way that a lot of schools are doing it? Because there's nothing, it's not illegal. So why even get defensive about it? That's what I was strangely. Well,
why single out people for doing something the correct, what's they're perfectly within their rights to do?
Because he just doesn't think it's good for college athletics.
No, why single out people? You think Texas A&M and Deion Sanders, with that top recruit in the country, are the only people? You just said it, Tennessee. Why single? That's the fact. Like, I'm not going to give passes to people. You like always to give a pass to, oh, well, they spoke for 17 minutes, or they gave a 7-minute answer. I don't give passes on that because he chose to single out people, and you said it before I could even get to it. When he chose to do that, you get everything that you get. I don't give a damn if the answer was
no question.
6.5 minutes later. You chose to go down that rabbit hole. He's smart. He's done thousands of interviews. And once he singled out people, you get what you get.
No
Ryan
question.
Ryan Tannehill, when he chose those words as the highest paid player on the team and the starting quarterback on the team, you chose those words, and whether you try to correct it later, it doesn't matter. You already chose to go down that road, and you get what you get.
No
question.
You
have to be better than that.
I agree, and I think he realized it the next day. Now,
of course he did when he backpedaled.
Here's where I back Jimbo Fisher. This is what I heard a lot when you listen to the entirety of the Jimbo Fisher press conference. There was a lot of fire and brimstone, but one of the themes that you pick up on, I totally get. When you're the big dog, when you are Nick Saban and you're the king of the mountain, everybody tends to worship and think you can do no wrong and think that everything that that person does is perfect and he is the man.
Well, in the state of Alabama.
No, I think it goes beyond that, right? He's just got this reputation. I equate it a lot to a Kentucky fan that might look at Mike Krzyzewski or Roy Williams. Like, hey, those guys can do no wrong, but we're the heels that get caught for cheating all the time. We have the reputation is pristine, right? For Nick Saban, the reputation for Coach K is pristine. But when you look beneath the surface, like, are they using the collective the same way? Like, I think Jimbo Fisher was saying, look, you expect us to just fall in the pecking order and not try to compete with you. You're the one that has everything lined up to be successful, right? You've got your ways of doing it. The system has worked for you. So we have to try to push the envelope. We're trying to compete with you. So what are we supposed to do? Just sit back and not do anything? We have to try to evolve. We have to try to be innovative. And so you're going to try to knock us down a peg for doing that? No. You're not perfect. We're not perfect. We're all trying to win here. I get that for sure.
We'll come back. We'll begin the final hour with Justin Bradford, Penalty Box Radio. We'll do that next.